your Bibles, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 22. While you are, I'm going to get my microphone on here. So, Ezekiel chapter 22, right before the book of Daniel. In your Bibles, if you would. All right, hopefully this will work. Ezekiel chapter number 22. Again, just want to say, tough day, and we're still praying though. God can do miracles, and that's what we're hoping for. That's what we're praying for. And also, I just want to say this is the first time I've had to speak, or I've gotten a chance to speak since Brother Williams has been the pastor, and I just wanted to extend our gratitude to him, to his family. And, you know, I knew it would be tough, the transition, but honestly, it's been so easy, so seamless, what Brother William has done in the church. And, you know, I'm happy to be a part of this church with him as the pastor. And it's just amazing. I'm looking forward to what the Lord has for us in the future. So praise the Lord for that. Ezekiel chapter number 22. I've got to move along. As you know, I speak long, and I don't have a lot of long time to talk. So Ezekiel 22, if you stand with me, if you would, for the reading of God's word. And I want to get into this as soon as possible. Ezekiel chapter number 22, and we'll begin reading in verse number 23. The Bible says in Ezekiel 22:23, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths and have profaned, and I am profaned among them. Verse 27, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you, Lord, for these people. I thank you for my church. God, I pray that, you know, the situation with Willie's family, God, I pray that you would do a miracle, Lord. I know it looks bad, God, but God, I pray that you would do something big time, Lord, because we know that you can and only you can. So I pray you'll do that, Lord. Help Willie, help his sisters, help Luis, Lord, help the whole family. And God, most of all, help his mom. I pray you would send a miracle down and do something, God. That's what we're asking for. That's what we need. God, I pray you would bless me tonight. Lord, I need to move along quickly. I don't want to keep these people here too long, but God, I do want them to hear from you tonight. And God, I can't do that in and of myself. I need you to help me. I need you to get me out of the way. I need you, Lord, to forgive my sins and to fill me with your spirit. Help me to know what to say, what not to say, Lord. And God, help the people to listen to your word. God, that we would walk out of here changed, that we would walk out of here different, that we would walk out of here and reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that. And God, everything that I do, say, and think, Lord, I pray you would honor and glorify your name and lift you up, Lord, and that everything would point to you. And Lord, we just ask these things of you tonight. And Lord, we know that you'll answer them in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Not moving on me too easy. The book of Ezekiel here, it's one of the major prophets in the Word of God. And as you know, as most of you know that have studied the Bible for any time, what is going on here is the southern kingdom of Israel, which is Judah, they got taken into captivity to Babylon, okay? The first wave, it's happened in three waves in the year 605, 597, 586 B.C., okay? The first wave, you have Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those stories in the Bible. The second wave here, you have Ezekiel taken. So he's a prophet of God, and actually he was just kind of a normal guy when he got taken into captivity, out of his land, out of everything that was familiar to him, out of his religion, out of all these things that he knew that were familiar to him. He got taken away from that, got taken into this land of Babylon. And he's there, he's taken in this second deportation. While he's in exile, If you read the book of Ezekiel in chapter 1, the glory of the Lord appears to Ezekiel, okay? If you read chapter 1, it's kind of confusing, kind of weird, kind of freaky in some ways, but you look at it and you see the glory of the Lord appearing to Ezekiel. He's standing by a river, just, you know, doing his normal thing, and bang, all of a sudden, he sees visions of God out in the sky. And the whole point of these visions, the whole point of this experience that he had was God was calling him as to be a prophet of his. God was calling him. He said, Ezekiel, I got a job for you. And I just want to say, it's something special when a God that glorious, a God that great, a God that awesome wants to use you. I thank God that God wants to use us. And he says, Ezekiel, I got a job for you. And you say, what's that job? He said, Ezekiel, I want you to do this. I want you to be a watchman. I want you to be a watchman. Watchman's kind of like a lifeguard, okay? You're looking for danger. You're on top of the wall. You're looking for people coming in. You're looking for the enemy in any way that he'll come. He may come over here. May come over there. May come from back there. You don't know, but your job as a watchman is to watch, to look, and when you see a problem, you blow the trumpet. You warn the people. And after that, your job is over. Okay, and he said, Ezekiel, that's your job. You see where the devil's coming in. You see where the enemy's coming in. You see where the sin is getting in the lives of these people, and I want you to blow the trumpet. And I thank God that we still have, in 2009, some fundamental, independent Baptist churches that we want to call out sin, and we're watchmen in 2009 calling sin what it is. Amen. And that's his job here. And he says, I want you to be a watchman, but he says, but Ezekiel. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you. You can preach. You can give your heart, your soul. You can preach your guts out, man. You can study. You can give them everything you got. They're not going to listen to you as a whole. But you know what? That's not our job. It's not our job to worry about the results. It's just our job to say something. It's just our job to see, hey, I look at myself as a watchman. You ought to look at yourself as a watchman. God has placed you in a position. God has put people under you. Maybe your children. Maybe people in your Sunday school class. Maybe people on your bus route or van route. And I'm telling you, you need to see when the enemy's coming in. You need to see the devil working on that teenage girl or that teenage guy or that young boy or that old couple. And you need to say, hey, I'm going to blow the trumpet. I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something. After that, my job is done. If they respond to it, praise the Lord. If they don't, at least I said something. At least I said something. And he says, that's the job that I want you to have. And all throughout this book, he's telling them his main themes are why they're being punished for their sins, that they should repent of their sins. And if they do, God will restore them one day. That's his main message to them. In chapter 22 here, he's listing out their sins to them. He's saying, you want to know why you're having all this trouble? This is why. This is why you've forsaken the Lord. If you look in chapter 22, verse 2, he says, now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, they have shown, thou shalt show her all her abominations. That's what he's doing in this chapter here. Not going to spend time with all of it, but he goes through and he says, you know, verse 8, thou hast despised my holy things, profaned my Sabbath. No big deal. It's no big deal to you. The word despise in the Bible very often, it doesn't mean you hate something necessarily. It just means it's not important to you. It just means it's not important. You remember Jacob and Esau? He despised his birthright. It didn't mean he hated it. I hate my birthright. No, that's not what he's saying. It means he didn't care about it. It wasn't important to him. God gives us his holy things. God gives us his word. God gives us his church. God gives us these things. It's no big deal to us. He says, you profaned my Sabbath. In verse 14, he says, listen to this, it's pretty interesting here. Can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. He's saying, can you handle it, fellas? Can you handle it, people? Can you continue to sin? Can you continue to go off? Can you handle it when I come and judge you? It would be safe to say, nobody can handle it when God judges them. Nobody can. You know why? That we need to live right. We need to live holy so that we stay out of that judgment. Hey, if America's going down the tubes, we don't have to go down the tubes. You know? And he goes through. The section we just read, though, from 23 to 31, pretty interesting because he lists different groups in society here. Look at verse 26 with me, if you would. He said, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference. Notice that they have put no difference between that which is holy and that which is profane. I see that happening today. It's no big deal. You know, church church and what they call in college, you know, sacred and secular. Sacred and secular. There ought to be a big difference. Big difference. We ought to see where that line is and stay as far on that side of the line as we can. Listen, I don't like Christians that get close to the line. I think Brother Joe preached about that before. If you're a Christian, man, you don't need to stay close to that line. Thank God you're not going to hell. Thank God you're not on your way there. So why are you acting like it? Oh, I'm not going to hell, but let me act like it. Let me look like it. Let me talk like it. Let me have an attitude like it. Come on now. If you're saved, somebody ought to see that you are saved. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you're in God's family, there ought to be a family resemblance somewhere. Somebody says, man, that guy acts like Jesus, talks like Jesus, walks like him. What's the deal? He must have been one of his children. Amen. He goes through and he says, her priests have violated my laws, put no difference between holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. They have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, profane among them. And I am profane among them. So he talks about the priest, verse 26, 27 talks about the princes. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening to prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. The leaders, all they care about is their wallet. Don't care about people. All they care about is their wallet. Verse 28, her prophets, talking about her preachers. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, saying, seeing vanity, divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. When the Lord hath not spoken. God says, what are you talking about? I didn't say that. I didn't tell you to tell them that. Verse 29, the people. So we've seen the priest in 26, the princes, the prophets. Now the people. Say, man, you're all about alliteration. The Bible did that one, not me. All right. Verse 29, the people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery. They have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Hey, I know we don't talk about this a lot, but we need to take care of the poor. We need to take care of those that are in poverty. I'm not saying you give, you know, some guy, you smell beer on his breath and all this, and, you know, on his way in the store, he's throwing out his bottle, you know, and he comes in, hey, buddy, can I have some money, man? Sure, man, here's my credit card. No, obviously, right? Obviously, because we know what he's using it for. But if a person is sincerely poor, if there's, you know, if they can't help, and I thank God our church does help the poor. We, as individuals, we need to be about that. But I want you to notice, in the midst of all this, and I know, you know, you've seen the posters around, this is the theme of our conference. I was not trying to preach this, to be honest with you. I prayed about it, and the Lord kept putting this on my mind. I said, Lord, you know, I don't want this to be a commercial here. You know, come to the conference, you know, May 31st through June 3rd. Don't miss it. Limited time offer, you know. I didn't want it to be like that. But the Lord said, this is what I want you to speak on tonight. So here we go. In the midst of all this, with the priests being wicked, with the princes being wicked, with the prophets divining lies and saying, thus hath the Lord spoken, when God didn't say anything, with the people taking advantage of the poor and needy, God says, amongst all this wickedness, amongst all this filth and all this sin, I sought for one man. Verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found out. God said, I'm just looking for somebody. The Bible doesn't say he's looking for 1,000 people. Not saying he's looking for 500 or 100 or 50 or 10. It says he's looking for one guy, one person, to stand up and do something. Stand up and do something about it. Stand up and be different. But the sad thing is, he says, I sought for one among them that should make up the head, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. He says, but I didn't find anybody. I didn't find anybody. Notice verse 31, the first word, therefore, means because God didn't find anybody. Let's find out what he did. Have I poured out my indignation upon them? I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their head, saith the Lord. He says, because I didn't find anybody. Yeah, Tut, the princes were wicked. Yeah, the priests were wicked. We see that. Yeah, the prophets were wicked. Yeah, all the people in general were wicked. But I'm just looking for one guy. Just one. Just one. And I didn't find him. So because of that, I'm going to judge them. I'm telling you, I want to be that man today. We ought to want to be those people today that stand up, that are different, that stand in the gap. That stand in the gap. That's what I want to speak on tonight, standing in the gap. We need somebody to stand in the gap. We're going to talk about what that is in just a few minutes here, but This was surrounded by wickedness. Chapter 22 shows how just how bad it was. It's bad out there today. It's bad out there today. Wickedness everywhere you go. Everywhere. It makes you sick. I was telling the guys yesterday, I said, guys, you got to be right in here. Because if you're not, you go out there, you are walking into a hornet's nest. It's everywhere. Everywhere. You better be on guard. This is not right. You're in big time trouble. You're just sticking out the little handle for the mail to, for the devil to drop off the mail to you. I don't want to be like that in my life. God was looking for just somebody, just one man, to step up, to step in, to stand in the gap, to stand for him. I want you to notice about this story, number one, the search for one. The search for one. Verse 30 says, and I sought for a man among them. Again, he's not searching for 100 people, not searching for a whole church of people, searching for one. Only one. He's consider God's goal in his search for one. He's going after one. See, God's serious about this. The Bible says, and I sought for a man among them. That I means God. God sought for a man among them. God was searching. God was seeking. God was scanning around. God was serious about this. God's looking. Hey, God may be looking down at us today saying, I want to find one person. Just one person. Just one person that'll see the need. Just one person that'll step in the gap. Just somebody, somewhere, somehow. You see people going to hell. You see people's lives getting destroyed. You see it happening. But what are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? See, it's great, but it's not good enough that we just get a PowerPoint slide. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that was that's what Brother William wants. It just to end there. Oh, that's so sad. Mm-mm-mm. All those people. That's not where it's supposed to end. It's supposed to continue, and when that offering plate comes around, instead of, oh man, I really want to get a soda after church, you think about those people. Oh man, should I get that extra large meal tonight? No, I think you can go with medium and put your other $3 in the offering plate. Amen? Yes, sir. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. Those people need the Lord. They need the Lord. Consider God's goal. He's looking for one. God doesn't need the crowd. Sometimes we think, man, if all these teenagers would sell out to God, God could really do something. Listen to me. God doesn't need the crowd. And when we talk about that, we usually don't even get the crowd, right? You know what? God just needs one. God just needs one. Listen. God just needs one. God's looking for a man. Consider his goal. Consider the gender he's looking for. He's looking for a man. I'm not dissing women tonight, but God needs some leaders to step up. God needs some leaders, some men to step up and say, I'm not gonna let all this stuff happen without do something about it. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to sacrifice my time, my energy, whatever it takes. I'm going to do something about it. He's searching within a certain group. He's searching within a certain group of people. He says, I sought for a man among them. Among who? Among his people. See, God, when God looks for somebody, when God's searching for one, God doesn't go down to Washington, D.C. and check out the government. He doesn't look there. He doesn't have to look in the White House. He doesn't have to look in the House of Representatives. He doesn't have to look in the Senate or the Congress. He doesn't have to look there. He's not looking in the NBA tonight. He's not looking in the baseball league and see if he can find one guy to step. He's not looking there. He's looking among his people. He's looking among his people, his church. The people that have been redeemed by his blood, that have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's who he's looking at for one person. That's who he's looking for. God's not looking at the world tonight. God's looking at us. We talk about them so much. How about us? Are we doing our job? So wicked out there? Are we? So nasty out there? Are we? I want to be different. Consider his goal. Consider the certain gender he's looking for, the certain group. But also, I want you to think with me. He's searching for somebody that's compassed about with godlessness. Compassed about with godlessness. We just read. The whole society was going down the drains. It was all on its way to hell. The princes, the priests, the prophets, the people. It was all wicked. You know what? We complain a lot of time. Oh, it's just so hard. It's always been hard. Got news for you. It's always been hard. It was hard for Noah to step up in Genesis. The whole world was doing what they wanted to and right in their own eyes. They were all eating and drinking and praying and doing all these things. They were all doing it. But Noah stepped up. He heard from God and said, I'm going to do what God says. Let them laugh. Let them talk about me. Hey, Noah, what are you doing? Building your boat because it's going to rain? What's rain and what's a boat? I don't know, but God told me, so I'm going to build a boat for this stuff called rain. Why? Because I fear God and I obey Him. And you know, the same kind of stuff happens today. Why do you dress like that? Nobody dresses like that anymore. Why do you listen to that stuff? Nobody listens to that kind of music anymore. Because God said, listen to this stuff, because there's a person called the devil that wants to destroy my life. This stuff, the devil, fine. When the rain comes, you're going to be the one, woo, and I'm going to be the one in the boat, fine, okay? Amen. It's always been like that. It's always been tough to stand for God. It wasn't easy for Noah. It wasn't easy for Abraham. It wasn't easy for Daniel and his boys. It wasn't easy for those guys. We were preaching about it in junior girls today. Everybody was bowing down. Everybody. Three guys stood up. The king had his agenda all planned out for the day. Announce my tall gold image in the plain of Dura. Tell everybody that if they don't bow down and worship me, they're going to get thrown in the fiery furnace. After that, you know, you have an early brunch. Then you'll be out of the office by 3. Nebuchadnezzar says, sweet, man, we're good. Go hang out, go down to my boat. Got it made today. And three guys messed up his whole day. Hit it, maestro. Da-na-na-na. And everybody, three guys said, Not bowing down to that music. Not bowing down to that junk. Not compromising, not giving in, not doing a little evangelical. I'm not going to bow, but I'll lean. No. I'm not leaning. I'm not bowing. I'm not bending. I'm standing, buddy. Chew on that, Nebby. I'm standing. And then he gives him another chance. He was going to give him another chance. Say, fellas, I heard some talk, some rumors, you know, how things spread around. That, you know, when the music played, you guys didn't bow. But, you know, I don't really believe it, so I'll give you one more shot. If you bow down, we're good. If you don't, you're toast. I like what those guys had to say. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What they're saying is, we don't have to call a timeout. We don't have to push pause. We don't have to stop the TiVo real quick and say, guys, what are we going to do? Are we going to stand? Are we going to bow? What are we going to do? Mommy! They didn't have to call mommy. They didn't have to huddle up. What are we going to do? Stand. All right. 1, 2, 3. They didn't have to do that. You know why? They weren't careful to answer thee in this matter. You know what that's saying? We got our mind made up. Hello. We got our mind made up. You can play the music. Everybody can bow down. You can get mad at us. You can throw us in the fire. You can burn us to a crisp, buddy. But even in the fire, we're still going to be standing. When you stand for God, God stands with you. Come on now. Three guys in the fire, right? Isn't that what we threw, King? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Three guys. I see four, don't you? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I see four. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Hello. Amen. God's searching for one tonight. Would you be that one? I heard this stuff. I know it. Been through Bible college. I got it all down. No, are you the one? I don't care about your Bible college. I don't care about your degree. Sorry if I'm banging on anybody. I just got one, you know? But I'm saying, it doesn't matter about all that. It's not about what we know up here, but be doers of the word, not hearers only. Oh, I got it in my notebook. That's not where it's supposed to be. It's out in people's lives. Somebody needs what you know. Somebody needs what you have in here. It's not good enough just to keep it to yourself. He's searching for one. Secondly, I want you to notice the services of this occupation. See, there's certain jobs you have to do if you want to fill this gap. The services of this occupation. What do I have to do if I want to be the one? If I want to be the man to stand in the gap, what do I have to do? There's two jobs. Number one. Bible says, I sought for man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me. First thing he says is make up the hedge. I sought for one guy among them that should make up the hedge. You know what that means? Build up the wall. Secure the gate. He's saying, I need one guy to secure the gate. I need one guy to have that protection. I need one guy to have that separation from the world. I need one guy to do that. He's saying, I need one guy to be that watchman. Looking around, I see trouble. Hey, there's trouble. Get prepared. I need one guy to do that. But not only somebody to secure the gate, he needs somebody to stand in the gap. What I think this is, I know probably almost everybody in this room has heard this verse before. Sought for a man to stand in the gap. And sometimes we preach the whole thing about standing in the gap, and we don't know what the gap is. I think the gap is the area of need. The area of need. The open spot, the empty spot. In football, we call it the hole. That's why we got these football posters up. The hole. Fellas, you ready? Let me see. Jonathan, I need you, these three guys, and then I need one more guy. Bubbalicious, oh boy. Way to volunteer. Get your sister to volunteer. Let's go. Come on. We did this on a Friday night. This is what standing in the gap is all about. Move this over. We don't tackle the PC here. It's not a Mac. It's a PC. Okay? You're the running back. You're the line. Actually, I'm the linebacker. You can block this guy. Good luck. JT over here blocking Bubba. Good for you. There you go. You're running back over here. All right? Now, you know when a football happens here? We're on the line of scrimmage. You have your line, your offensive line, defensive line. You have guys in the secondary, they call it in football. Okay? Back here, you have your linebackers. You have three linebackers, middle linebacker, two other linebackers here. Back further, you have your cornerbacks and your safeties, okay? Some good linebackers, Ray Lewis, probably know about him. What's that? Lawrence Taylor. Yeah, I would think of some Redskin linebackers, but I don't think they have any good ones. At least they got a stadium that's not falling in, right? Just kidding. Here's what happens. In a football game, you're all, let's bring it in. No, let's bring it in. All right, when we call, I want you guys to make a little hole for your running back. Da Vinci, okay, David. All right, let's not kill each other. Let's just hurt each other, okay? Here we go. Down, set. Blue 42, hut. Go. All right, time. Back. Stay where you are. Hold your position. In my mind, this is the hole right here. You know what we need? We need somebody, a linebacker, to come up and stand in the gap and take care of this guy. Hold on, guys. You can chill, but still stay there, okay? Listen to me. In my mind, spiritually, I see the devil running through gaps all the time. I see a lot of gaps that we don't cover. I see a lot of neighborhoods that we don't get to, Tut. I see a lot of kids that we don't care about. I see a lot of people that we're kind of slacking on our effort. And while the devil's running by, we're picking our nose over here. And you know what? I am sick and tired of seeing the devil. Sorry, David. The devil. Hey, Brother Joe, he goes with the character a little bit. I'm just kidding, man. Kind of. Listen to me, though. I am sick and tired of seeing the devil rip people's lives open for 50, 60, 70-yard games, touchdowns, dancing in their face. I'm sick of it. Sick and tired of it. I'm sick of seeing teenage boys out there high on drugs and drinking. And I'm sick of going to, listen to me, I'm sick of going to Langley Park and seeing their dads beating up on their kids because of their stinking Corona extra beer. I hate that. You know what? I hate seeing the devil run through holes of people's lives. And there are gaps all over the place. You know what? We hear 7 out of 10 teenagers will never come to church. That's a gap. 71% of people in America. We're not talking about China. We're not talking about India. We're not talking about some secular country. We're talking about a Christian nation. 71% unbelievers. 71%. Crazy. You know what we need in 2009? We need somebody that when the hole opens up, you'll see it when they do the replays of the football. You see John Madden, used to be. He retired now, but he'd be drawing circles. And boom, here he goes right through the gap. And, you know, you would see that all the time. They're all together, and then hole opens up, the guy goes through. We need to stand in the gap. We see that hole open up and that running back coming through saying, wrong day, buddy. Here I come. Ray Lewis, all right? I'm going to tackle you, but easy, okay? Let's go back. Get the corner. Get that guy, all right? Down, set, hut. Boom! Go down. Good job, guys. Thank you. Devil didn't go down too easy. Get down. Get down, man. Somebody was wearing a microphone about probably blasted their ears up. All right? We need somebody to stand in the gap. We need somebody to stand in the gap. Listen, there are neighborhoods that need you to stand in the gap. There are people's lives that need you to stand in the gap. There's an open spot. There's a needy spot. There's an area that needs you. Somebody that needs you. Devil's ripping them up inside. They need you to step in the gap. Say, not today, devil. I got God's power. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm on the winning team. And if you're coming through my hole trying to gain yardage on my team, ain't happening. We need that. We need that. Somebody to stand in the gap. Could be here all night talking about the gaps in this world. There's a gap in soul winning. Listen to me. I'm not going to bang on anybody. We need every single person out Thursday night. You know why? There are gaps all over the place. There are gaps in your friends' lives, your family members' lives, in your Sunday school class. There are gaps. Gaps everywhere. People need you to step up and do something about it. If we're just sitting on the bench, it's not good enough. If we're on the field but not doing our job, we've seen it. Something happens, but you know, devil goes off, touchdown. Devil's down there. Woo! Touchdown! Boom! I'm sick of seeing that. I'm sick of seeing the devil celebrate on our field. Sick of that. I don't see that happen anymore. It's time we do something about it. God, again, God's not looking in the NFL. God's not looking in the top college programs. God's looking among them, among his people. God's looking at us today. We got to stand in the gap. This world, there's a gap. People need to be loved. People need to be loved. They don't need this fake so-called love the world offers. Here 1 minute and gone the next. That's not love. Love is a commitment. I'm going to be there no matter what. They don't know what it is. I'm telling you. We have bus routes. Listen to me. We have gaps in bus routes everywhere. We have a lot of gaps in the driver's seat. We have a lot of gaps with people working with the kids. We've got gaps everywhere. Listen to me. You know why Brother Hollis and his wife are going to Front Royal, Virginia? Because there's a gap there. There's a gap there. You know why we have this missions emphasis month with talking about Africa and talking about America? There's gaps everywhere. Gaps in Africa. Gaps in America. Gaps everywhere. But just seeing the problem isn't good enough. Got to do something about the problem. I want to do something about it. Listen, false doctrine everywhere. We need people to pray. We need people to stand in the prayer gap. Yes, sir. Absolutely. We need people to stand in those gaps. We need people to support the missionary. That's a gap. Well, we don't have enough money to send to our missionary. That's a gap. When Jesus said, pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, he sent for the laborers in his heart. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know what he's saying? There's a gap, guys. There's a gap. The harvest is plenteous. It's everywhere. But the laborers are few. There's a gap. You can't cover every zone. We need somebody to step in that gap and fill it. People need you to care for them. People need you to love them. People need you to do something about the problem. It's everywhere we look. Number three and lastly, we've seen the search for one, seen the services of this occupation to secure the gate, to stand in the gap. Thirdly, I want you to see, if we do this, it'll save people, it'll save the lives of others. Let's look at the verse one more time. I sought for a man among them to make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land. Why, God, that I should not destroy it? But I found none. Verse 31, therefore have I poured out my indignation upon it. Listen to me. If people don't get saved, if they don't accept Jesus as their Savior, judgment's coming. Listen to me. You think God wanted to judge his people here? No. God didn't want to judge his people. Listen to this verse. It's a few chapters later in the book of Ezekiel. 33:11, it says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God. Listen, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Sometimes I think, you know, kids growing up in church, they think that God gets pleasure out of sending people to hell. Nope. Wrong. When people drop into hell, God's not over there. Ha ha! Got another. No. God says very clearly, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It rips God's heart out to send people there. You know the problem is? He doesn't have a man. You know what the problem is? Nobody's standing in the gap. You know, if you stand in the gap, the reward of it is that it'll save the lives of others. Listen to me. There are sinners out there on their way to hell. If you don't fill the gap, they're going to go there. That's a gap. And when we're on the field, you better be giving it your best. We need everybody to give their best. We don't need 2-3 guys on the team, the star players, to be giving their all and the rest of the team slacking. Everybody. Everybody. Because you know what? Because you know what the devil will do? He'll send more blockers at the star players, a.k.a. his demons. Put pressures on them. Put trouble in their lives. Put problems, unexpected things with their family. Things like what happened to Willie, one of our star players. Luis. Listen to me. They can't do much right now. You know what we need to do? Fill the gap. We need everybody on the field working their tail off. Every single person. Listen to me. If you're in this church and you're not involved in some ministry, you need to start. You need to start. Listen, it's not good enough for you to just... You come in every week. Hi, how you doing? God bless you. All right. Back home, back to the normal. I love you, but you're not doing your job. What kind of player would it be that shows up to practice and breathing hard like you did something, you know? And listen to me. I want to be nice with this. I want to be nice with this. But we got Christians like that. They come into church. Oh, man, I'm tired. Good night. Give me some water. Get in front of those fans when it's hot in football. They got the big, huge propellers that they took off planes. You know. Listen to me. I love you, but you haven't done anything for the Lord this week. Why are you acting like that? Save those fans from the guys that are doing something. Listen to me. I'm just saying, you need to be involved. Listen to me. I was preaching today in a class about let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know who needs to shine? You. What does that verse say? Let your light so shine. Sometimes we just browse over verses in the Bible. We've talked about this. Just read stuff and we don't even think about what it said. Let your light so shine. Listen to me. Somebody needs to see your light this week. I might not be in their area, but you will be. And you might not be in my area, so I need to shine. And you need to shine. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the staff. It's not just the leaders. It's everybody needs to shine their light. Why do we shine our light? Because let your light so shine before men. That you get all the praise and glory? Uh-uh. That they may see your good works and will glorify your Father which is in heaven. I have a picture on my phone of a one-way sign. A one-way sign on my phone. I showed it to the guys in the class today. That's what our lives should be. We're pointing people to Jesus. Yeah. We should be pointing to people to Jesus all the time. I was telling them in my class, we got laughing about it. But, you know, we should be so in tune with the Lord and so in love with Him. People come up to us. How you doing, man? Lord's good. What are we doing? Pointing them to Him. Oh, man, how's the family? Lord's blessing. How's your day going? Oh, man, serving the Lord. Great. Everything. Do you ever talk about anything else? No. How you doing, Tom? God's good, man. What's been going on? God's been showing me stuff. God's been doing stuff for me. All right? God's been doing stuff for me. What am I doing? Pointing people to Him. You know the person that needs to shine? You. You know there's people that need to see it? Them. You know the result? You'll point them to the Savior. That's what our lives need to be. What our lives need to be. Just one-way sign. Listen, I don't talk about other stuff. I don't swing both ways. Amen. Hello. Can I get a witness right there? Good. All right. I don't need to be one here, one here, one here. all about Him. What else good do I have in my life to talk about? Not much. Oh, congratulations, Tom. Graduated from college. Lord did it. Honestly, He did. I walked into college not having a clue what to do. Kenny was with me. Every day, Kenny, I don't know how to write this. Listen, Lord did it. I graduated with like a 3.8 in college. How'd you do it? I don't know. Listen to me. What do you say? Hey, you hate those guys. I'm about to stand in the gap, Brother Bob. Come on. No, just Listen to me. This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. This is all right? Kenny and I walked in our first English class, English Comp 1. We walked in there, and we're supposed to write a paper in the next week or something. I didn't know how to put. I wrote, honestly, I had a story I was going to talk about. I wrote everything that was in my mind. So I wrote everything. It was dark outside, 75 degrees, slight humidity. I was doing everything in my mind, man. I stepped on a chewing gum wrapper on my way there. Everything. We talked to this guy. He opened the door. He had a bewildered look on his face. I didn't even know what that meant. You know, he had a bewildered look on his face. I gave him the gospel. Blah, 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 blah. And I filled out one page. Am I lying? Better believe I am. No, I'm not. I'm not lying. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to type. My mom did my typing the first year. What are you laughing about, handsome? You want to come up and type right now? Right, Brother Wayne? We're one of them cheap shop preachers, man. Bring the Oscars. Get in. Shut up, kid. Get out of here. Can't say anything to the preacher. Back off. Just kidding. Listen to me, though. My mom did my typing. Laugh now, buddy. No. You know, I'll call you out. I will write my stuff out on paper. Mom, can you type this? Turn it in the next day. I'm telling you. The Lord help him. At PBU, I'm writing. Not anymore. At PBU, I was writing stuff every night. Come home, another paper due. It's amazing to me that 2 years ago, I couldn't even do that. Now I'm doing it every night like it's nothing. What happened? Well, I had this computer course. He got me through. And he'll get you through. There's sinners out there that you can save their lives if you stand in the gap. Listen to me. There's saints in this church, Christians. There might be a Christian that's going to fall into sin if you don't stand in the gap for them. Listen. There's somebody that's going to face something. There's somebody that the devil's going to get on their back hard this week. You know that, how you doing? I'm praying for you, brother. That might get them through. You know what you're doing? Standing in the gap. And, you know, when we say, I'll pray for you, but let's do it. Let's do it. You'll save the lives of others. There might be a Christian teenager in this church that's going to fall into sin if somebody doesn't take interest in them and stand in the gap for them. Hey, man, I love you. Let's hang out. Let's go do something. You mean I have to sacrifice my time, my energy, my money? Pretty sure Jesus did all that. He did it for you. Who are you going to do it to? Listen to me. I think about this. This really strikes me when I see pictures like this or kids out there. There might be a small child out there. I think about that, Bobby. I think about that. There might be a little kid. You know, we might not be able to present the gospel to them. They might not understand, whatever the case may be. But I think sometimes if I can just put a smile on their face, if I can just play around with them, give them candy, do whatever with them, just have fun with them, it might stick in their mind when they're 18, 19, 20, and they see that blue bus rolling by and say, those are nice people. I'm going to try that out. I think like that, man. There might be some little kid out there that they're in a messed up home, and they go through all the junk and stuff that you would never want to put a little kid through. They have to go through it. We need to stand in the gap for those kids. There's bus kids out there everywhere. Bus kids out there everywhere that we need to do something about it. Somebody needs to fill the gap. Are you going to step up? You've heard the call. You've heard the watchman sound. Now it's your chance to respond or reject it. So what? We've heard that kind of stuff all throughout the time.
It's a big deal.
Or you can respond to it and say, you know what? It is a problem. It is a problem, this world going to hell. It is a problem, 71% unbelievers. It is a problem, 7 out of 10 teenagers don't ever go to church. That's a problem. That's a gap. That's a hole. If you're on a football team, ladies, if you're on a football team, what's wrong with you guys? We pay you millions of dollars. You have shoe contracts. What is it? Is it in you? Just do it. All this junk. Why don't you just do it, you idiot? We would have a big problem with that. Wouldn't you? Absolutely you would. Down, set, hike. Oh. Too late. You'd be doing the Bronx cheer. Woo! Get him off the stinking field. Forget about it, you know? Get Jeter in there, you know? Come on. Forget about it. Listen, you would have a big problem with it. You know what? Let's have a big problem with it on our spiritual team when that happens too. Sick and tired of seeing the devil through kids' lives, through teenagers' lives, through adult lives, just running through, running free. Devil's running around, thinks he's good. Time for the devil to see that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Time for the devil to see that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. It's time to see for the devil to see that if God be for us, who can be against us? It's time for the devil to see that. God's on our team. Better yet, we're on God's team. We got hooked up with something we didn't have any part of. God says, I'm going to sign you. What, me? I don't do anything good. I can't even fill the water up right. That's all right. You're on my team now. And I'll teach you. I'll train you. I'll give you the power to do it. And guess what? I'm going to be helping you while you do it. How you do that, coach? You'll find out. Because I made you. That's why, boy. Listen to me. I'm done. But sometimes we look for God's will. Brother William, teenagers come to me all the time. Tom, what's God's will, man? What's God's will, dude? I need to know. I need to know what county of Africa God wants me in. Hold on, but time out, okay? Slow down. Back it up. Rewind, okay? I really need to know. I mean, if God doesn't tell me in like the next 32 seconds, I'm going to die. I'm going to go crazy. This is crazy. I got to do something about it. What college am I going to go to? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to serve the Lord? Listen to me. You're looking for the will of God. And I do believe that God has specific spots for specific people. But you know what? If you're looking for God's will, just find a gap and fill it. God will put you, if that's not the right gap, God will get you to the right gap pretty soon. But if you're just sitting back and saying, which one? They're all over the place. That doesn't do anything. God, show me which gap you want me to go in. Find one the devil's running through and say, uh-uh. Not happening in our house. And go do something about it. Just find the gap and go for it. Hey, God says, I sought for a man among them, make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy. Last part of the verse, very sad part. But I found none. Nobody. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. Listen to me. In 2009, I don't want God to have to say that again. I don't want him to look in Woodlawn Baptist Church, fundamental churches around the country, around the world, saying, I didn't find anybody. Didn't find anybody. Hey, let's let God say, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap, and I found one. I found a whole bunch of them. Let's do it. I sought for a man. God's looking for one person to make up the hedge, stand in the gap. If you do, it'll save the lives of others. Praise the Lord. People need you. People need the Lord. Maybe here, maybe somewhere else. But wherever it is, find the gap and fill the gap. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for how you spoke to my own heart, Lord. I need to do more. And I pray you would speak to our church tonight, Lord, and help us to respond to it. God, to see the gap is not good enough. We got to fill it. I pray you'd help us to do that, Lord. With our heads still bowed, eyes still closed as the pianist begins to play. We're going to open up a time of invitation. If you stand with me. God spoke to your heart in any way. Let's come do business with him. Let's respond to God's word. Then my sister and brother-in-law go and live in Australia and work with people because there's a gap there.
There might be a gap right around you, but you haven't seen it yet. Find it. Do something about it. Get people to church. Get people to the youth conference. Invite people. We're not doing it just to put on a big show. We're doing it so that somebody will get their life saved from destruction, from hell, whatever the case may be. Listen to me. If you don't see the devil running through people's lives today, you're blind. You're not looking around. He's running through places everywhere. Let's go do something about it.
Anyone else? Okay, let's all look up here. Brother Bob dismisses in prayer. That's what it's all about. There's gaps everywhere. There are gaps everywhere. I was thinking as he was preaching that, you know, we've been seeing through the presentations and seeing in the sermons that are preached, that's really the playbook. It's not the field. The field's out there. We can get all the plays ready, but we got to go out and do it. We got to do something about it. That's what the bus ministry is about. That's what the van ministries are about. It's going out and getting the work of God done. And so, you know, that's exactly what we needed tonight. I have Brother Bob dismiss us in prayer, and be safe going home.